Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at theopenhouse.net.au blog site.
Reverend Charles Costa knows all about faith under fire. He's the minister of Ras Beirut Baptist Church, the largest Baptist church in Lebanon. He grew up in Beirut, began doing church work there during the civil war of the 70s and 80s, and now works extensively throughout the Middle East, speaking on radio and television. So good to talk to you, Reverend Charles Costa. Would you rather I call you Charles?
Charlie will do.
Charlie will
and
do.
And it's my pleasure to be here.
So grew up in Lebanon?
Yes. Until I was a teenager, and then because of the civil war that started in 1975, my family picked up and left, emigrated to the U.S. so we can get an education. But the Lord had different plans, called me back to the Middle East, and I'm the only member of the family that ever returned. So I currently make my home in Beirut.
Mm. Tell me about life in Beirut as somebody who born there, kind of bred there, left there, came back there, and now serves there.
Well, Beirut is not much different than Sydney, actually. It's a very cosmopolitan city, very Western, with a lot of history. It goes back hundreds and thousands of years. You go down to the downtown Beirut area, and you will see excavations of civilizations that came through that part of the world that goes back as far as the Phoenicians, the Canaanites, mm-hmm. The Romans, the Greeks, all of those that came through. There are other parts of Lebanon, for example, Baalbek, that has a huge area of the city, three Roman temples. One of them is the largest Roman temple still intact, the Temple of Bacchus, the god of wine. That's not to mention Tyre and Sidon, which has biblical connections. Mm. So there's a lot of history there.
So it must be really interesting for you as a preacher, you know, as a Christian minister, to actually be sharing, preaching, speaking every Sunday morning and other services that you hold in the midst of such a culture that is rich in biblical history.
Yes, it's exciting to be where the action is always, regardless what kind of action. And we've seen all types of action, including military action. Mm. Working in Lebanon has its special flavor. First of all, Lebanon is a fairly open country. We don't encounter persecution in the strictest sense. No doubt there are challenges, but we are free to assemble, free to preach the gospel.
So even though it's a majority Muslim country, 60% Muslim, 40% quote-unquote Christian?
Well, I think it's a little bit more than that. It's 73% Muslim and 27% Christians.
But relationships between the two are generally pretty good?
Yes. Again, this is part of the beauty of Lebanon. Even when you talk about civil war, you meet Lebanese outside Lebanon, Muslims, Christians, Druze, any background, any age category, they'll sit around a cup of coffee and you can never tell who's who. Mm. You know, they have the greatest fellowship and greatest time together. And they'll talk politics, they'll talk religion, they'll talk about anything. It's not very easy to distinguish who's who, except if someone mentions their name, there could be a way to tell that whether they're Muslim or Christian. So really, in spite of the image that the civil war was sectarian between Muslims and Christians, there's a lot more to that
Always is, isn't there? So what is it? What has it really been? What really has been that war about?
Part of it has been the issues of power sharing in the country. Because when the original constitution was written, Christians were a lot more than 27%. So now, with the dwindling numbers of Christians in the country due to, for number one reason, probably immigration, and of course, the population growth, Muslims tend to have a higher population growth than Christians. Mm-hmm. So all of that kind of created an imbalance. And part of the war had to do with the power sharing issues. Part of it had to do with other issues that really Lebanon has no part in at all, such as the Palestinian problem and the refugees that were in Lebanon who had their own agenda. And there are other countries that are, you know, have a lot of control and power in Lebanon that manipulate things for their own interests. So the Lebanese were more like chess pieces that are being moved for a specific agenda for someone outside of Lebanon.
Okay. This is Open House right across the nation. The Reverend Charles Costa is with us, who is the pastor of one of the largest churches in Lebanon. Tell me about your church. Give me a bit of an overview as to the mix and what kind of people are actually becoming members of your church. Are you seeing a number of Muslim people actually choose to become followers of Jesus Christ?
Let me start with a picture of our church. We're just your average-of-the-mill Baptist church, like any Baptist church here in Australia. We have our own church complex, an auditorium, and different ministries, Sunday school, women's work, children's ministries, youth. We want to reach out to the community. We care for the whole individual. Mm-hmm. We would like to think of our work as a holistic ministry. We also would like to make a difference on the national level, defending human rights and defending the rights of women and children. Now, when it comes to seeing Muslims come to know Christ, actually we see people from all kinds of backgrounds come to know Christ. Our church is open to everyone to come in. We don't preach religion. We don't preach Christianity. We preach Christ. And we call people not to change their religion, but to change who they follow, in the sense of we want people to be followers of Jesus Christ. Mm. We believe that Jesus Christ can give hope to people. Can give freedom from sin, from oppression, can give assurance of a new life, a new beginning, acceptance, irrespective of what man could have done in his life. Christ accepts all. Mm-hmm. And that's the message of grace that we are so keen on sharing with others. Our church is open to all people from all backgrounds. It doesn't matter where they come from or what they believe in.
Listeners can't see what I can see, but your eyes have teared up. Can you tell me why?
Well, you see, when Christ came, he did not come just because he had an agenda. Christ came because of his love, of his compassion for humankind. The Gospel of John, writing what Jesus said, put it so succinctly: God so loved the world, it is the whole world. Mm-hmm. He didn't come just for the Jews, although he came for them. He didn't come just for those who ended up following him, although he came for them. Mm-hmm. But he came for everyone, including Muslims, Hindus, Buddhists, men and women of all background. Christ does not care about their religious affiliation. He cares about them and about their hearts and about their eternal life. And when you see that in Christ, you cannot but be touched by his compassion. And when people like myself, and there are many who have given their lives for Christ and have gone to difficult areas around the world, not just the Middle East, have that same passion, they cannot but well up with emotion when talking about these issues. To see people come to know Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior.
Yeah. Charlie, what keeps you where you are, you know, in this particular church, in this particular city of this particular country?
Well, I'll make an admission that if repeated, I will lie and deny.
actually, this is a national program, by the way.
Yeah.
You're going to be
you can tell
people.
how concerned about the secrecy of this admission, but seriously now. I have prayed to the Lord to release me from the Middle East. I have prayed for years for the Lord to say, okay, I will allow you to leave now, go back to America and do something else, but the Lord has not given the green light, and frankly, I don't anticipate him to do that anytime soon. What keeps me there is, number one, there is so much to be done. Number two, there is so little time to do it. And number three, there are so few people to get the job done. When Jesus spoke in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 9, looking at the multitudes, he was heartbroken for them with compassion. He said to his disciples, pray the Lord of the harvest. He did not say, try to find money, although money is very important in mission work. He did not say, go try to get the best computers, best equipment, best tools. He said the most important thing in God's business is people, workers. So I cannot really read that passage of scripture and give myself the excuse, any excuse, to get out of the Middle East when there are people there that Jesus died for.
What is most difficult about the work there? You've been very honest and vulnerable and said, you know, there's been times that I've really prayed to be released from this. What is so difficult about the work?
The Middle East is very unstable region, volatile. Exactly a year ago, in May of 2008, for a political dispute, you know, because of political reasons, we slept one night, during the night, they were fighting in the streets. Mm. And I frankly don't care who fights who. Bottom line, they were fighting. We slept on the 6th of May and there was nothing wrong with the country. And on the 7th, it was all hell broke loose, bottom line, you know. For 2 or 3 days, we had troubles and then it was quiet again.
So you'd be afraid for your family, for your church members.
Exactly.
Of course, the general community, but there'd be people really close to you. You'd be worried about every single day.
Exactly.
Did you lose people in your church to those kinds of... Have you lost people in your church to those kinds of skirmishes?
Thankfully, no. Hmm. Thankfully, no. Because none of our church people is politically affiliated. Let me give another example. We run a girls' home in the church. We have 9 beautiful girls that we take care of who come from abusive situations and abject poverty. Well, during those 2 or 3 days of fighting, I had to scramble and try to find bread and some food. I had to cross from one section to the city of the city to another section of the city and try to secure bread and some food enough for 2 or 3 days, because we thought, well, this shouldn't last too long. At least they'll announce a ceasefire, mm-hmm. and we'll have a chance to go shopping again. But it's not just fear for your life. You have to think about food. You have to think about water. You have to think about electricity. All of these things that people in the West, in free countries such as this great country right here, take almost for granted, you know. And we have to think about all of that.
Yes. Charlie, what can people listening do to help you, help the Middle East, help the church in Lebanon and other Middle Eastern countries?
Well, couple of things. For those listeners that value prayer in their life, they can definitely pray. They can pray for the Middle East, not just for Christians in the Middle East, for the whole Middle East. There is a vibrant witness that still goes on throughout the countries of the Middle East. Mm-hmm. We want that witness to continue for people to hear the message of hope and grace. They can reach people of the Middle East here. And share with them the love of Christ. Mm-hmm. Just love them. Somehow in the West, we have developed an Islamophobia. We immediately, especially after 9/11, associate Islam with terrorism. Mm. And let me clearly say this is not true and this is unfair. The majority of Muslims are good people. Are God-fearing people. They are trying to please God in their own way. Mm-hmm. And I have to respect that and I have to accept that. although I may disagree with them. Mm-hmm. These are people who God loves and Jesus has died for. And my hope that through my showing them and sharing with them the message of hope and grace and acceptance, they would be challenged, attracted to say, I want to be a follower of Jesus Christ too.
Charlie Costa, it's been great to have you here, and I hope you enjoy the rest of your trip around Australia.
I have thoroughly enjoyed being in this great country. I definitely will pray for Australia, and
hopefully we'll pray for you too.
Amen. Amen. Thank you very much.
Reverend Charles Costa, who is the pastor of Ras Beirut Baptist Church, one of the largest churches in Lebanon. His website, he was mentioning a website earlier on about his teaching and preaching. The-livingword.com is the website. Don't forget the dash between the and the living. The-livingword.com.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. To hear more from Open House, visit theopenhouse.net.au.